Continuing on out of Colossians chapter 3 today in a series we're calling Excess Baggage. And today I want to look at a couple of verses that where Paul tells us we need to get rid of any kind of negative emotions, negative attitudes, and instead embrace positive things that will help people. And beginning with like verse 7, he says, "You used to do these things when your life was still part of the world, but now is the time," and I love this phrase, "to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty languages. Don't lie to each other, for you've stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds." And he says, "Put on your new nature." And he goes down to verse 12 and says, "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all else, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." In this passage here, Paul says there are things that we need to get rid of, things that need to be eliminated in life if we're going to be pleasing to God. He instructs us that as we do these things, that we will be a great representation for who we're supposed to be. So if you look with me there at verse number 8, going on down to verse 9, he says there are things we need to get rid of. And he says there are things like anger, rage, malicious behavior. And I'm reminded when I think about these things, one man said that these, and it's true, these are social sins, sins against people. And one said these are sins that are somewhat more acceptable or allowed a little bit. We kind of make excuses for acting this way sometimes, but Paul says to the people at Colossae, you need to get rid of them. He says, now's the time not to control them, but to get rid of them. Get them out of your life. And the first word he talks about there is the word anger. This word anger comes from the Greek word orge, and it means a deep, smoldering, resentful bitterness. It's a picture of a person who is always just stirred up and always angry, and maybe it doesn't quite come out. Maybe it's just underneath the surface a little bit, but all it takes is one little bump, and they're ready to go off. It's a continual thing. It is a settled heart, not in a good way, but a settled heart of anger. It's a person who's made a decision, maybe because of things that have happened to them that are unfair, maybe because they feel like they've been mistreated. But whatever the reason is, Paul says, we've got to get rid of those things. It doesn't take a lot to make this person, their anger to flare up. And we need to recognize that Paul tells us and God says to us that anger must be put away. It's something we need to get out of our system. There is a time for righteous anger, but I think we want to use that phrase way too commonly when in reality we ought to be doing more of what we'll look at in a moment of being thoughtful toward others, caring for them in a way that helps them grow, being tolerant toward what they do and letting the offense roll away and not embracing it. We're to be slow to anger. James tells us that in James chapter 1, that we should listen well, that we should speak less, and get angry, not at all. We need to be careful that we don't allow the anger that's within us, the natural anger that we have, to boil over into someone else. It can often be seen when I don't get my way, when I don't get my preference, when someone else gets recognition. And we've got to be careful. Paul says, get rid of this thing. It is part of the flesh. It's not what God wants for us, and it needs to go away. The next word he uses there, he says rage in the NLT. It's the Greek word thumos. It refers to a sudden outburst of anger. In other versions, rage is not the most common word, but it's what they use in the NLT. And I think it's good for our culture because we're all familiar, unfortunately, with that phrase, road rage. I've got to be honest with you. I have to guard myself because sometimes it's frustrating the way other people drive and as reckless as people are, and when they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing that could cause harm, it's easy to have that outburst of anger where you just kind of, it rises up out of you. And let me just say to you today that that kind of anger never brings resolution, never brings help. I feel like I'm giving Janet's words to me right now. It doesn't make anything better, but in reality, we need to just take a deep breath, try to relax to the best of our ability. We can't fix people, and very seriously, maybe that would be a good time for us to pray for God to help that person, not for God to punish them, but for God to help them. Paul says that one of the things that happens in our lives is that we allow these outbursts of anger to control us. The Greeks liken it to a fire in straw that flares up briefly and then it's gone. We need to be careful that we do not allow anger or wrath to be things in our life that come to the surface frequently. When we act that way, we bring words of doubt to who Jesus is and what he can do. We are a poor testimony, a poor representation. I heard of a pastor who was preaching a sermon on these kind of sins, and one of the people in the church came up to him afterwards and said to him, "Pastor, you need to preach about sin for sinners, not problems that Christians are having. And then the person went on to say, "Because they're totally different." And he went on, "Yes, that's true. It's worse when it's the Christian." We need to be demonstrating holiness and righteousness, allowing God to do a work in our lives. Paul says these things have to be eliminated. They cannot be within us. He goes on to say the next thing, and you'll see kind of a path of activities that goes through here in these social sins. We become angry, first of all, then it boils over into rage. And if we're not careful, it becomes malicious behavior. The word malice is a general term for moral evil. And when you look at what it says about those words in the Bible, it tells us that these words of malice are things that look to do damage, that harm others. Some of the synonyms given for malice would be hateful or mean or cruel, wicked, evil, unjust. You know, back in the Old Testament, before the full revelation of Jesus Christ, Micah wrote in chapter 6, verse 8, "God has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, that you would walk justly, that you would love mercy, and that you would walk humbly with God." I think it's important for us to recognize that there is no room for malice in the life of a child of God. When we look to do damage, when we look to bring harm, when we're filled with hatred, when there's cruel or evil intent toward people, that is not pleasing to God. Now, often we'll justify it and we'll say, "But you don't know this story." Here's what I do know. When we were sinners, God loved us. When we were enemies, Christ died for us. And if we have been transformed, we should have that same attitude. Let there be no malice in our hearts toward anyone, for this is not pleasing to God. And I remind you what Paul says here. He doesn't say now is the time to get a hold of this and keep it under control. He says it's time to get rid of it. The picture here again is of taking off a shirt, taking off clothing that is dirty, taking off clothing that maybe is tattered, that is torn, that somehow has been diminished. There's a picture here of what would happen in the New Testament times when people would come to be baptized at the river. And as they were being baptized, they would put on this new white robe after they were baptized. And it was a symbol of transformation. I believe God is calling us as the church to get rid of anger, to get rid of rage, to get rid of malicious behavior. You may say, well, how do I do that? It all goes back to the first part of the chapter. Since you've been placed with Christ Jesus, since your sins have been forgiven, receive from Him His help, His strength, for you to be the person that you can be. God wants us to be people who are filled with good things. So get rid of that negative things, and three things he mentions here: anger, rage, and malicious behavior. But then he goes on to say, but put on these other things. And again, I mentioned this before last week, but in verse 12, I love what he says here. And I've got my notes that I have out in print, and I make them big and bold and highlighted, and some in all caps. And here's what I have: since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you, and I have this word all caps, yellow highlight, bold, underlined, you must. I think we have to see what Paul describes here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as not optional, but something that is essential for followers of Jesus Christ. Get rid of anger, rage, and malice, and put on the clothing of tender mercy. What an incredible thing. How awesome it would be if we treated people with mercy, with compassion, with goodness. You know, the reality is this too, that it's that when people deserve it the least, that's when they need it the most. When someone does something that is inappropriate, wrong, what if instead of us just ranting and raving and being upset and yelling at them, and maybe there's even malice in our heart where we say, oh God, you know, just drop a potted plant on their head or do something to them. What if instead of thinking any of those thoughts, we said, God, help them and help me to show them. Now, I think there's certainly room for, definitely room, and the Bible tells us to bring correction, to give the truth in love. But anger, rage, and malice, they're not very productive in helping people change. I read this a long time ago, and it's always stuck with me, that nagging is not a good source for behavioral change. Most of the time when someone nags at us about anything, it kind of makes us a little bit sour toward the whole process. That's part of our human nature. What if instead we spoke to people with mercy and compassion? We pointed out how they can do better and what God expects from them. I was reading just this last week an article that had a conversation between a pastor and a college football coach. And the coach was saying to the pastor, I've discovered over my years of coaching that you have to coach people up. You don't coach them down. You don't tell them how bad they are. You don't tell them what they can't do. You tell them what they can do, and you encourage them, and you coach them up. And he said, I've discovered in my experiences that when I coach people up, we win a lot more games. It's not that you don't address issues that need to be corrected or changed, but most of all, we need to recognize this change only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. What if we prayed and asked God to help us to have compassion, to be merciful? He goes on to say there, clothe yourself with mercy, with kindness. I think that's a quality that is in short supply in our world today. What if everyone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ began to treat people with kindness? Now, there's absolutely a need for discernment and wisdom. I'm not demeaning that at all, but I think that most of us could probably do with another dose of kindness in the way we treat people. What if we let people see Christ in us in the way that we interacted with them? He goes on to say some other words, and the next one I'm going to mention here is the word patience. Why do we lose our temper? One guy said to his son, I'm about to lose my temper, and his son said, no, I think you're finding your temper. But why do we lose our temper? Why do those things happen? It's often because we lack patience. Patience is one of those topics nobody really likes to talk about. We all know what James says, that patience comes through tribulation. We all go, oh, I don't want that. But the reality is, patience helps us to be a better representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to get patience when you encounter people that test your patience. And then that is a test. Do you pass or do you fail? How do you treat people who are undeserving? Treat them with patience. And he goes on to say this, not only that, this next phrase is amazing to me. He says, make allowances for each other's faults. Now, he does not kind of skirt around this issue. He makes it very clear, people will have faults. People will have problems. But what we need to do is, instead of just reaming them out, especially getting angry or breaking out into a rageous outburst of emotion, we need to give them some grace. The phrase we used to use a long time ago was cut them some slack. What if we made allowances for each other's fault? Not that they stay there, but we pray for God to help them, and we pray for God to help us. The reality is, if we're not careful, we become very much like the person that Jesus talked about, who has a telephone pole sticking out of their eye, but they're making fun, or they're pointing at in a deriding manner towards someone who has just a speck of dirt. They're criticizing the speck of dirt when they have a big log sticking out of their eye. The reality is, if we're not careful, as we begin to criticize, as we begin to be filled with anger, what happens is we become self-righteous. And we stop looking at ourselves and we start looking at everyone else. You know, I think it's very clear in Scripture. The Bible teaches us the first person that we need to judge is yourself. The first person we need to look at and assess where are areas that we're coming up short is me. It's not everybody else out there. And work on what can I do. And when other people do something wrong, be patient, make allowance for that. And he goes on the next phrase. These just get tough to take, but he says, and forgive anyone who offends you. And he goes on to say, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive them. What an incredible thought, that the forgiveness that he expects of us is to represent the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ. You know, as you look at the whole crucifixion scene, which we're in the season that's coming up, and you've been thinking about that, and by the way, there is this week some devotions every day on YouTube and on Facebook that will help you to go through the week in the life of Christ that I've done for you. As you think about this, how did he forgive? He forgave them when he had been beaten. He forgave them when he had had everything taken from him. He forgave them as he's nailed to a cross. He's hung suspended between heaven and earth to die for the sins of the world. The most amazing phrase that comes out of that whole encounter, for me personally, is when he says, Father, forgive them. My natural inclination for me in that moment would be say, Father, get them. Father, make them pay for their sin. But Jesus said, forgive them. And Paul says here, we're to forgive as others as Christ has forgiven us. I want to encourage you that as you today look at your own life, judge yourself harshly in the area of anger, rage, or malice. And if anything is there, get rid of it. You don't have the power within yourself to do it, but ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask him to transform you. These sins against people need to stop. We need to be known as followers of Christ. And Jesus said, they will know that you're my disciples because you have love one to another. Not because you argue and yell and scream and fight, but rather because you love and you forgive and you're patient and you reach out in kindness to each other. I remind you again, Paul says, these are things we must do. We must put these clothes on. We must wear this identity. Because of what Christ has done in me, I'm a transformed person. I encourage you today, drop all the negative emotions that bring tension, division, that bring hardship, that develop hatred, and instead put on positive attributes that bring softness, that bring kindness. You know, the writer of Proverbs talked about that when we're loud and boisterous, it stirs up anger. But he goes on to say, but a soft answer turns away wrath. Would you join me today in asking God to help us to be more aware of situations and not just to react to them, but to respond to them, to have a predetermined idea of how we're going to treat people, and to make up your mind today that with the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be ugly toward people. You're not going to have an outburst of anger. You're not going to think bad things about them, but you're going to let the Holy Spirit help you to be compassionate and kind and patient and tolerant and forgiving. You know, I've said this a few times in this series. Paul tells the church at Colossae here that following Jesus Christ is not just a theory, but it's a practice. And it requires the power of the Holy Spirit to be transformed. This is our day-to-day living. I remember my dad used to say this, probably not original with him, but I remember the comment. He would say, it's not how you jump when you shout on Sunday, it's how straight you walk the rest of the week. Be an example who walks in the grace and love of God to people you encounter. Let me pray for us now, and I pray that as I'm praying, you'll make this your prayer too. God, thank you for loving us when we were unlovable. Thank you, God, for being patient with us. Lord, not one of us deserve your grace. Not one of us should receive your mercy, but because you are kind, because you are patient, because you are good, because you long to forgive, we have received it. Lord, I pray you would help us to become more like you every day. Help us to embrace these positive attributes, to wear them as our point of identification, that people may be drawn to you. And Lord, we thank you today that you're with us at all times. Help us to be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.